my friends, and welcome to the Art Girl on Fire podcast. I'm Amanda. I'm on a journey of healing, and I'm bringing you with me. Now, first things first, I am not a guru. I'm just a woman learning new things and sharing stories from other folks who are doing the same. I'll be sitting down to talk with other artists and creatives who are also on this path to being better humans. We'll talk about art, creating, having a spiritual practice. We'll have some amazing conversations as we all get together and share our stories. There will be episodes where it'll just be little old me. I'll share some practical tools for healing and personal growth. I'll tell you my story, the beautiful as well as the ugly parts, and I hope that you're encouraged on your own path to healing. It's my sincere belief that the more of us who make the choice to heal individually, the better off the whole world will be collectively. So sit down, get comfy, and let's get down to it. Welcome, friends. This is Amanda. And tonight, my very special guest is one of my very best friends in the whole wide world, my sister from a million lifetimes, Emily.
Hey.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Amanda.
So I talked about you a little bit at the end of the last episode, preview, so people kind of knew what to expect, and they knew you were coming. And so they know that you are a beautiful opera singer.
Oh.
And that you are a teacher.
Yep.
And that's all I told them. That's all I told them.
that's a lot, really.
So anyway, Emily's here, and we're just going to talk about things that we want to talk about. Healing. Where are we? What are we doing? We chose to heal a couple years ago, and
it's been a journey, process, ups and downs, changes. I think I was married when I decided that I wanted to follow a path of healing, and that changed my marriage. I am not married anymore. I mean, there were other issues, but once I had chosen that there was something going on with me and my meditation and how I was being led, with just who my paths were crossing with, it was apparent that I needed to find out more about what was being shown to me in meditation visions, because meditation for me was not easy. A lot of people say, I can't meditate, I can't. Well, you know, I was one of those people.
I think it's everyone. Yeah. Like when we first start, we're like, this is maddening, I'm going to go crazy and die.
It's bad.
Like, I'm alone with myself. What do I do?
Why do I keep thinking about this and that? Definitely, that was something I guess I had to do or learn how to do. I don't know. But I had a vision one time after many years of just meditating. And they were healing symbols from different religions. And one was the golden feather, you know, like from, you know, Native American shamanism, the feather symbol healing, or can be. And then one was like a golden orb.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah.
You were like, what is this?
Trippy. Asked everybody that I thought had some kind of spiritual background. And then the last was the golden, like a lotus petal blossoming. And I'm just asking everyone and then meeting your teacher and just going for Reiki sessions and seeing more.
Reiki has changed both of our lives, honestly.
Yeah.
In a great way.
Yeah.
It's definitely life-changing information.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to a friend earlier today. I think we're all conduits to energy.
Definitely.
But the Reiki, when it was explained to me, after the first attunement, now you might feel different in a little bit, or you might feel sick, or you might be upset. Mm-hmm. I mean, different emotions, like, be careful, kind to yourself today after this first attunement. And I was like, okay. I'm like looking around at other people, seeing if anybody passes out or feels sick or, you know, I was like, I feel okay. I felt fine. And, you know, thought, you know, maybe that just happens to certain people. Maybe I'm not special. I don't know. You know, a lot of stuff goes through your head as you're trying to learn something you know nothing about.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I just remember going home and cleaning the whole entire garage out. Like,
your energetic space was clean, so you had to clean your physical space as well.
The energy.
Yeah.
I woke up the next morning. I've been a morning person ever since.
It's weird.
And lots of energy to just do more and feeling empowered. The second attunement was not as bold.
Same. I felt the same. Like, my second attunement felt, how do I describe it? Almost like this, like, clicking into place. It was just a comfortable, like, mm-hmm. Like, here I am, and it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, did you notice, too, once you got attuned first or second time, both maybe, that your meditation practice, like, it got easier?
Oh, yeah.
To kind of drop in and be in that space.
Yes, it happens. Like, I'll be in the tub, or I'll be here laying in bed, and I can go. The meditation is like a space that I can reach. Where I'm thinking of nothing. There is no emotions. I mean, there is sometimes. That's another story, I guess. But when it first clicked for me, and I would just tell my brain as I'm breathing and going through breathing, you know, there is nothing. I'm think of nothing. Think of nothing. Think of nothing. I would tell myself when I wander and I'd focus on the breath. And just one day, all these colors happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them all waving. And I was scared at first. I thought, well, am I having a stroke? I mean, it was, and then I went from there, you know, and then the vision happened and the colors are always there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm doing Reiki distance on someone else's, if I'm Reikiing someone else, I will see their colors sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I can see their energy field waving.
Yeah, that was a fantastic development to me. Like when, after the first few distance sessions I did, just being able to see more.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I grew in that practice too, now I'm meeting my client's spirit guides. I'm seeing their animal spirit helpers.
That's another story for another day.
Yeah. Their inner child shows up a lot.
Their cats when they're hungry.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you can't go feed your cat
so we can finish this session. He's ass loomy.
Yeah, and I love learning and reading about things and learning about things, but this is something that happened to me in my life that I can't deny that it happened.
Right.
I can't explain these colors. I can't I asked them one time when I was meditating, what are you? Like, just blatantly just asked.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure what's going on with my brain. What are you? And that morning was a very different morning because I wanted to know. I was still asking questions and wanting to follow. I don't think I had done the second attunement yet. And just felt overwhelming love.
Mm-hmm.
And the overwhelming love was, it brought me to tears. It's like I didn't even need anybody or anything at that moment.
Right.
I didn't need nobody. Mm-hmm. I had myself and this one, like, 10 seconds of just overwhelming love. It just kept me going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's all I need to know. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. and keep reading and learning. And I know there's a lot of people that are skeptical about Reiki. There are even people who just say, well, everybody's a Reiki healer. Well, right. Yeah, we're all conduits of energy, et cetera. But I do believe there takes preparation and you're training yourself
right
in a way to make these connections. Mm-hmm. And all we have really to go by is we know to cleanse the area, we know to meditate, we know to take care of our bodies, we know that we have to be in good shape, we need to be in a good place for the most part to do what we're doing.
Right.
And in saying that, we're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
It's been a crap month.
I know the moments where we are like face to face with that love, though, you know, and people have different names for it. You know, is it God? Is it Source, Creator, the universe itself? Is it consciousness itself? And but those moments kind of carry us through like the crap months. You know, you have that moment where you're like, I'm loved, I'm worthy, I don't need anything else. And then, you know, life happens and you're like, well, this is crap. But yeah. Then if we can, that's one of the beautiful things to me about meditation practice in and of itself is that you do learn, like you have those moments more often, you're more in tune with the fact that we are worthy and we are loved and we are protected. And I mean, God's got us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that's one of the hugest benefits. And I know Eli, my son, he gets tired of me telling him, like, hey, you should meditate, because anytime he's got a problem or he's stressed, like, you know what would help that? He'll be like, meditation. Like, yeah, it will, you know? And so maybe one day he'll pick up the practice.
I don't know about it. I haven't really asked Sean. I've Reiki'd him before. He's all for it. He's just like, it's calming, Mom. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that's Eli, too. You
know. No, my oldest son was like, what voodoo are you doing now, Mom? Like, it's not voodoo. It's like, go Google. It's like, when they have that kind of attitude, it makes you not want to explain. You're like, just don't. Because it's even hard to explain to myself sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I sit there and think, well, it just is. Like, there is no explaining. There's no reasoning. It's just, this just is. It is.
Like, I don't even feel weird doing it anymore.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I'm over that. I think the rest of our lives, we're just going to keep getting weirder and weirder, and I'm fine with it.
Oh, yeah. I know. I understand this may be straining on my friendships and stuff with people, but, like, I have a really good friend who's an artist, and I can hear him now. It's not real!
Well, let me tell you about the it's not real. Well, I mean, Eli, he knows that I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And, like, Steven doesn't discount it at all. That's my husband, in case I haven't told the listeners. Yeah, he doesn't discount it. He knows there's something to it, but he's not, like, deep into it like I am.
Yeah.
But when I do Reiki for him, it benefits him. Like, he feels the difference. It feels really good, and it helps.
Yeah.
And so whether someone believes it or not, it still works. And to me, that is testament to the validity of a Reiki practice. Like, believe it or not, it's working on you, so.
You feel better.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I didn't even have to touch you. That's pretty miraculous to me.
Right. Now, going back a little bit, you and I were raised similarly, but a little different.
Yeah.
But, like, similarly, I was raised in, like, charismatic evangelical churches. You were raised in
Mormon
church, right? Yes. And so both of us coming out of these fundamentalist religions into where we are now.
Right.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, most of your listeners will know what Mormonism is and how far into it I was very devout and went to the temple, married my eternal soulmate, was sealed for all time and eternity, wore the garments of God.
Everybody the magic underwear.
Magic underwear. Mm-hmm. Was very devout. My whole life revolved around the church. I was even very judgmental of others, felt pity for people who were not in the church, and I thought how sad it was they didn't have the blessings I did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of mysticism too that is part of the foundation of the religion and the doctrine, really.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't really talk about because they want people to join and not get scared away, but I was very devout and would have died for it. I mean, just like would have done anything, you know. If someone mm-hmm. said, denounce your Mormonism, I would have just taken a bullet. Or it was very...
it was hardcore.
Yeah, interesting how I felt. Yeah. And then I went through something that shook and questioned everything I believed. And because I had that crisis, that life crisis, my parts of my brain that were dead to me started firing up. Those synapses started mm-hmm. firing up. And those questions started getting asked more and more and more. And then I was able to, over a two-year period, get out.
Right.
It was hard.
Yeah, I met you right when you had started, but it was still very new. Like, you were still, you had a lot of Mormon friends, and you had to hide your coffee, and, like, you would smoke in secret. Like,
you know,
if they see me with a coffee cup, they're going to report me to the higher up.
You know. I didn't want to get excommunicated because I felt like I didn't want my name in a community, whether it be a small community, the Mormon Church,
mm-hmm.
I did not want them. I didn't want my name to be dragged through the dirt,
right?
Or any derogatory things posted or said about me. So what I did was I hired a lawyer in Utah who now they've gotten so huge now, the firm, they offer it for free. But you just pay this minimal fee, and mm-hmm. they wrote a certified letter to the church, and then you were able to get your records removed. For anybody out there trying to get your name off the records is really hard because a lot of times when you submit your letter of resignation to the Mormon church, they will lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you send it certified, they'll just act like they didn't get it. So the best way is to have like legal action to try to, you know, make sure. And my name was removed within 6 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
And I was able to move on. And it took me a couple of years. I was very lost spiritually. I was, I think, probably an atheist a good bit of that time.
Yeah, for a minute, I uh-huh. remember. Because it was like, your whole life, this is your reality.
Yeah, if that's not true, then
if that's not true, then nothing is.
Yeah.
Nothing can be true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the meditation, well, and then I started studying, I got into paganism probably pretty quickly after, or just studying about it, because I just felt like it, the roots and were very grounding for me, and foundations and of nature and mm-hmm. doing no harm. It was just simple and basic, and even an atheist can do it,
right?
And then I was like, wow, they celebrate like twice a month, and I just need more party time. And so I enjoyed the new moon and the full moon. Now it mm-hmm. means a little more to me now, but I mean the wheel of the year,
mm-hmm.
especially Beltane. But I mean, it was just wonderful. It was a wonderful thing for me to research and get into, and just love people again, and found myself embracing more unique people than whitewashed cookie cutter
right.
forms of people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't love them too. I love them just the same.
Yeah, but like once you're free from kind of a fundamentalist organization, the freedom to really like or love all kinds of people, like it opens up to where you're loving more people.
Yes.
Then, that's something that hit me really hard.
Yeah, I think we both talked about how, I mean, I was at a red light probably about 2 years after I left the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like an onion peeling away all these layers. And I remember being at this red light looking and thinking, oh my God, people are so great.
Yeah.
I love people.
Yep.
Because I had innately just, it had been pounded into me. No, you have to marry a Mormon. No, right. Your friends need to be Mormons. You can reach out to everybody else, but yeah, they can't be your friends.
That pitying, like, bless their little heart kind of way. That yeah. whole, like,
you
quote,
don't
unquote,
have what I have.
Or the mission, you know, yeah. the quote unquote, your mission.
Yeah.
You can go hang out with those people at that non-Christian coffee shop because it's a mission field. Like,
right.
You can hang out with them to ultimately convert them, but to
be an example.
Foster any kind of real friendship to where right. you're there for each other, like, that's not allowed.
Right.
Because then you're just cavorting with the enemy.
Right. And I just, you know. My whole life was, like, planned out for me. Like, I had to do this. I had to do that. And it wasn't me. It was not me. It mm-hmm. was, it was not me at all. It was somebody else's mapping of what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being, and you probably had this too, like, they would, our leaders, our youth leaders would praise us.
Oh yeah.
If you were going to seminary, mm-hmm. oh, give me a young woman that goes to seminary and makes good grades and honors her mother and father, and I will give you a wonderful wife, and
mm-hmm.
you know, this is the woman you want. And that's what they would say. And you know, at the time, of course, I'm going through the checklist in my head going, okay, well, I'm not so great at that, you know, I can't sew very well, but I'll practice. You know, it was these things yeah. that I didn't get to choose any of that stuff. The only thing that came with me from all of that I was born with, that mm-hmm. I knew, was music.
Yep.
And singing.
Yep.
Like
you didn't have to give that up when you found your truth.
No.
Like, it was part of it.
No. And when you said, oh, I'm an opera singer, I mean, music is my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was with me the moment I could phonate sound as a little kid,
mm-hmm.
phonate and sing, and it's a career for me. It puts food on my table and feeds my kid, and you know, whatever mm-hmm. mom has to buy for them, you know. I mean it is everything. And you can't be my friend if you don't love music,
right?
Like, if we can't share tunes, and like, because I will communicate that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if there's a line in that piece that I share with you that says, I'm not happy right now.
Right?
You better listen to that, because that's me telling you I'm not happy right now. No, it's not. It's not always like that. But
well, remember when we went? It's been a couple years now, but we went and got our chakras photographed. We got the aura photography.
We did.
And remember, your throat chakra was like large. It was so big and
yeah.
so just shining so bright. And the lady was like, I wonder why that is. And you were like, well, I am an opera singer. And we both were just like, yep.
It was like, yeah, it was really bright. And then, yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I know that photography, Carilion photography, is very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But for all you skeptics out there, and okay, so what? It might not be real, because I don't even know the science behind it. I don't know. We went for fun.
We did, but you know, I specifically,
that's the colors I see
right
when I'm meditating.
Right. And that morning before we went, I knew we were going.
Yeah.
And during my meditation, I worked with stone medicine on three specific energy centers on my body.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was in a depressive episode. I was having a hard time, and so, hi Marvin. You'll hear some muse now and then. This is Marvin. So anyway, I meditated with these stones on my heart, my solar plexus, and my sacral chakra. And so when we get there and the photos come out, like, what was lit up on me? Those three. Yeah. And then your throat being lit up like a Christmas tree. Like, to me, that was pretty good confirmation that their equipment was picking up
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the purple and then the bright going out. Yeah. It's, and then I had forgotten about the photo. I have it somewhere. Around
I do too. I have it somewhere. I forgot.
It's in there, but.
I want to do that again. That was fun.
Yeah. And she was like, and it can change.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it can change. Catch me on an off month. But I think we all have those off months. And mm-hmm. I think, and I know we probably have some pagans listening to this. Shout out to, can I do it? Can I do a shout
do
out
it.
To the,
do it.
Shout out to paganchat.org. Those are my people.
It's important to find people.
Yeah. Well, you know, no matter how it's, you know, transitioned over the years, it's, you know, moved to Discord. Mm-hmm. IRC was where it started, and they always had a website and library and things like that. But
yeah,
it's a great group of people, and now that they're on Discord, they're finding new people, and they're also on Twitter. So very eclectic group of people. And I don't know, I mean you've been on a little bit, but we learn from each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll glean a little bit of information from this person or this person or this person's experience. And that, to me, is pretty valuable in a community.
Oh, yeah.
That you respect each other enough to...
Well, no one's gatekeeping.
Take.
Like, someone gets excited about something like, hey, I read this book. It's amazing.
Right.
And y'all read this book. And then everyone's like, yeah, I'll read it.
Don't read that book. We don't believe in that. Or that has nothing to do with witchcraft. Or that's not okay. But yeah, you get those every once in a while. And I've noticed even on the community and Twitter, there's a lot of people outspoken saying, okay, read everything you can. Learn about paganism or learn about this spirituality or whatever. But accept, or, you know, don't discount everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think if we're conduits to energy and knowledge and things that can come to you, we can learn so much from each other. Okay, so you like using synthetic gems or precious crystals, or mm-hmm. you use the synthetic ones instead of the real ones because you don't want to mine. Yeah. You know, I saw that the other day, because you don't want to hurt the earth.
Overmine it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's great. You know.
Oh, there's a big to-do right now all over TikTok about manifesting, and if it's a new moon or a full moon ritual. And people are all at each other about, well, if you manifest during the full moon, this, and that. Well, like, no, but if you do it during the new moon, then you're going to mess this up. And, like, it's just a big hubbub.
So the moon automatically hates you if you don't do it right. The moon is frowning at you right now. Life is too short.
I know.
The moon is always there. Okay, so there's special energies that you align with. And, yes, this is how it's been done for... this way and this way, but you know, if you are having success with what you're doing, people are gonna say things, you know. Don't let them make you feel bad. That closes your chakras off. you don't want to do that, because that really won't let you receive any energy. So as a Reiki person, let's try not to block them with petty things on TikTok.
Yeah. Okay, so we probably should have said this at the beginning, because we're talking about Reiki and energy work and stuff, but pretend that brand new client is coming to you. They've never had Reiki before, and they ask you, what the heck is it?
Minimum touching. I just remember our teacher going, you know, it's minimum touching. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, how I explain it to people when they're asking me what I do, or they're asking for a session, their body has energy portals. I have to explain the portals first, or their chakras, mm-hmm. and how this is an ancient, you know, belief across several religions. But they get clogged, or they're not receiving as brightly, you know, these portals and parts of our body. And that I'm just the conduit. So once my hands go down or near you as I'm checking, your body's pulling what it needs already. Mm-hmm. I am not just putting my hands on you and going, feel my energy.
Right.
Steve, receive my energy now. It is, you know, and I go
Steve
through that.
And I have this inside joke where he goes, shoot me with the Reiki. Pew, pew, pew. Like it's a laser beam coming up my hands. And
not.
He knows it's not. And we laugh about it. But
yeah,
that's the opposite of that. Like we are just... I like the way Patty explained it when she trained us, was you're a hollow bone.
Yes.
And the energy is flowing through that hollow bone and it goes exactly where it needs to go. Like you don't have to tell it what to do.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to be like, hey, go to this spot. Like it goes where it needs to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just clear my mind and the course of space is cleared. But yeah, they're energy portals, their chakras are wanting to receive that energy.
Yeah, like people's energy bodies, like they crave balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there's something that's not balanced energetically, it spreads across all levels. I just said across, like my mama.
Uh-oh.
Right across it.
That sounds...
Across all levels. Across
I think it's more effective to say it that way, don't you?
I think so. It gives it a little oomph.
It gives a little oomph.
Yeah. But when energetically, you know, you've got that imbalance, well, then suddenly you might start having an ache in, say, your kneecap or something. Your knees hurt just out of nowhere. Why did my knees hurt? I didn't hurt it. Why am I having this weird physical pain? Well, because there's something energetically that's blocked, and then... emotionally that you're not addressing, spiritually that maybe needs to be looked at. And so when we give people the tune-up, quote-unquote, that energy tune-up, it starts to release that imbalance, and then those other things can resolve sometimes.
Yeah. I definitely just keep it simple. If they have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. As far as, like, science, I mean, I guess you could sit down and talk about quantum entanglement theory and protons and, you know, that there was an experiment that was done with all that. But that's minimal scientific things, you know, you can draw to. There's physics, there's frequency, resonance, all of those things that we, when we're studying and learning it, we learn about it all. But I don't have an hour to sit there and explain all these theories and things with a person who is wanting something to work from them. I know when I went to go get my first healing, I went with purpose. Yes, it was explained to me in very simplistic terms, but I went with trust and kind of already know. I knew a little bit about what was going to happen, but and I really didn't know a whole lot about chakras. I mean, I kind of knew, but didn't really. And felt so much better after my first session.
When I first got my first attunement, after that training for that weekend and my level one attunement, I remember I was in the car and my husband looked at me. He's like, "You're glowing. Like, you're literally glowing."
Yeah.
You know, like so much had been blocked and was open and flowing, and you feel better, you look better.
Yeah. I mean, I was...
It's kind of wacky.
Yeah. Eating better, healthy, just, I was doing great. Doing so great that, you know, husband number two at the time was thinking I was cheating on him because I was feeling so great and so happy. I was like, it's not another man.
Right.
I tried to explain to him.
It's like, honey, I'm just cheating on you with my higher self. It's all good. It's all good.
I need that t-shirt so bad. I need that t-shirt. First time person, keep it simple. If they have any questions, if you have someone that's nervous, which someone could be, because they're like, oh my gosh, what is this person going to do to me? You'd be surprised just by putting your hands on their shoulders and then just allowing that Reiki to flow through. And if there is a spot, you know, we fix it. We have certain things that we can do. Of course, we don't really talk about it on on the podcast and stuff, but as a Reiki healer, you learn.
We have tools.
Yeah, you are given some tools, and you use those on that person, but you can, you know, minimal touching. It's not weird at all. I mean, at first I was probably a little nervous. I think looking back, I was a little nervous. Like, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
But, very calming.
That's a big one. I had one client come in and they had, lost their job, like right in the middle of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, his wife was like 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, it was a stressful time to be losing a job. And
yeah.
He had so much anxiety. Like, he was literally shaking when we started the session. 5 minutes in, sleeping like a baby.
Wow.
I mean, just the love that flows. When Reiki flows, it covers people and kind of wraps them. I don't know how to explain it. But he was calm. And he's like, I haven't felt like this in months. Months.
I saw... You know? On my first session, I had visions. I had three specific visions of three different women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they were me. They all had dark hair. But, like, I'd always heard about past lives, and I'm like, I'm seeing these women in different scenarios, mostly desert,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that was kind of cool. That was an experience that happened at my first Reiki session, was I saw... lots of forests, woods. I saw a Native American woman in the desert. Saw another woman in the desert, but she looked like she was getting ready for a wedding. Very chatty. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then the other one, not anywhere in particular, but all had dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
Just standing.
Yeah, I saw my past lives in a session, and I mean, across all different time periods, environments.
Yeah.
You know, one was, it was so far in the past, and I guess linear past, it could be any time, I guess, but if you think about it all wibbly wobbly way, but...
Right, yeah.
You know, that we were, like, lived in this... like green, lush mountain, this river flowing down the mountain. The water was so clean. We just drank it, used the water. Like, it wasn't dirt. Nothing was dirty. And
yeah.
I was a potter. Like, I made pots, and people would use my pots to draw the water. It was just cool. I don't know where we were. I haven't
gone
there again. I don't know where or when we were.
There's no telling. I mean, I could be looking, like, that could have been another world.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, like a whole
not
other
even
place.
This planet.
Somewhere else.
I guess. And I wasn't asking for that, and I don't normally day vision like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was very weird, and I was just kind of amazed and staring at it in my head and going, what am I seeing?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? This is crazy. Well, and I'd already started seeing the colors. And
mm-hmm.
Had a lot of questions in the beginning.
Yeah. I think, too, for me, and I wanted to ask if it was the same for you, did you have to kind of wrestle with a lot of fear, like fear-based thinking over, you know, how we were raised and to be so scared of everything? We call it devil chasing.
Yeah.
Like in the charismatic churches, you know, anything that's wrong, like the devil's out to get you.
Yeah.
Any noise in your house, it might be a demon. It's everything.
It's a devil.
It couldn't possibly be your shadow part of your consciousness, like trying to burst forth, because you will not acknowledge it.
Yeah. My mom, there's, you know, she would, I could hear her now if I were to tell her this stuff. She'd be like, oh, the devil's trying to get you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, he knows where I live, I guess. I mean, he can give me any time, I suppose.
Well, I'll tell you, though, after kind of chewing on that fear and resolving it in relation to a lot of that stuff, I had mentioned in the last episode about when I finally let myself have tarot cards.
Yeah.
And, like, the first card I pulled out of it to, like, learn this deck was the devil card. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
But, like, mama was right.
Yeah. Oh, mama. No, but I was like, okay, it's, releasing that fear. I will say, you know, growing up, even up into my early 30s, I was so afraid of demons coming in my house, of, you know, entities, darkness coming to get you. You know, it's always coming to get you. And now, like, I am not scared.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not scared anymore. Like, I'm, I have so much peace inside.
Yeah.
And I know it's not this way for everyone. Like, when some people leave the church, they leave it all. Like, they leave it. But Jesus has always been.
Yeah.
Like, he's my man. He's always been my whole life.
Yeah.
And now, in the work that I do and in my meditation practice, he's always with me. And I'm closer now.
Yeah.
Like, our relationship now is a million times closer than it was when I was in church three nights a week for hours and hours. And,
because
we were taught we weren't really worthy of God's love.
Right.
Like, you want it. God loves you, and you need to do what God says, but you rotten piece of garbage shit pig. Like, you're not worthy of God's love.
No.
But God loves you, and you need to love everyone else, even though you're all garbage
people.
We were
told that we would burn if we were in his presence, because he is just so magnificent, and we are so bad.
Yeah, like, love him with everything, but you need to be deathly afraid because you're not worthy of him to love you back.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I could never reconcile that. Like, I love Jesus so much, and growing up thinking that, like, he only kind of loved me.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah. I see Jesus as a different kind of entity. And maybe that's why, for you, you have so much more love for this person or this thing, or because it's more feasible for him to be this universal cosmic Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is to be this,
like, the church Jesus,
this tyrant that you read about in the Old Testament, you know?
Yeah,
just the universal cosmic Jesus to me makes more sense.
It does
to me.
It does.
Yeah, that if there is this thing, person, then it would be more like universal.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, the other day, like I said, I grew up scared of everything. I was scared of the dark until I was 30, because, like, what's in the dark? Well, the devil. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, used to, like, if I heard a noise in the house, or if I got, you know, like, sometimes late at night, like, fear will just grip you. Your brain does things in the night. And I would always just say the Lord's Prayer over and over, or whatever, but it was still such, I was wrecked with fear. Like, it wasn't, there was no power coming from me. It was just like, you know, and the words are power, but, like, it was still such an effort and a, like, tugging at, like, trying to grip onto, like, reassurance.
I
was still
yeah.
scared to death, but I was like, well, if I say these prayers, then, you know, no demon's gonna get me. And now I know that, like, God is in all of us. Like, he's, I don't have to go get him. I don't have to go to his house to be near him. Like, he's always, like, every atom
he's in
of
that
our
tree
body,
out there. He's in this grass.
Yeah, every cell in our body is God.
Yeah.
Like, he's here.
Very,
and so now.
Pantheistic.
Yeah. Nothing is scary anymore. And the other day, like, I really don't get freaked out. But, you know, sometimes just, like, a split second, something will happen. They're like, oh, that was a little spooky. And I had read some ghost stories or something. I forgot why my brain was kind of in this place. But, you know, the old adage of, like, if you hear something knock three times, that it's a demon because they're, you know, being disrespectful of the Trinity or something like that. And so I was home, and there was laundry going. And so, like, it was the washer or dryer one that made a sound, like, three knocks. And,
I could see you freaking
so,
out.
I didn't freak out, but, like, it was one of those, like, kind of, like, what was that? And I was like, it was probably nothing, but just to be sure. So I go out my bedroom, and instead of, like, being scared, like, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, I just clapped my hands. I was like, you don't live here. Get out of my house. And, like, that was all it took. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine now. Get out. Get on out of here.
That's funny.
But now I see it more, like, knowing how energy works and working with the chakra system, you know, when energy feels off, it, my mind doesn't go like to demons anymore like it did growing up, like, oh, it's a demon. It's just like, hey, the energy's off. It's kind of sticky in here. I'm going to cleanse the place. I'm going to, you know, burn some smoke. I'm going to open the windows and kind of, let's just sweep it out. Let's equalize the energy in here. So it's not this fear-based practice anymore.
I think that's probably something naturally I do in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have this routine. And we all do it. We all have a routine. Or some don't. Some just get up and it's like...
How do they do that?
They just go and they're always running late or they're always just rushed through life.
I have to do my morning practice.
I like to get up a little earlier and I light my candle. I like to meditate. I like to do yoga, breathe. I mean, I'm not trying to do a whole yoga session for health, although I need to kind of go back to that, getting, you know, doing that more. I do it enough to breathe and just...
Well, you have to get your energy moving.
Yes,
you
to
know?
See how I feel. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's just like my little morning routine. Sometimes I read, or sometimes I just say hello to friends.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with people in a pleasant way before I start my day is actually kind of a good thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't, like, lose faith in people throughout my day. Because I can do that easily.
Yeah.
I think if I shut myself off to people, I don't know. I have more of a tendency to be like, people suck.
Yeah.
And I really don't feel that way. I really honestly do not. Are there people I don't want to hang out with or be around? Absolutely. but there are people that it's pleasant to say hello to. And I just think that helps with my day, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when we get up in the morning and we take control of our day right away, it doesn't get out in front of us. And mm-hmm. then we're like running to catch up to the energy of the day.
Yeah.
You know, if I get up and I breathe and I move and mm-hmm. I journal a bit, I light my incense, I light a candle, I clear my space,
mm-hmm.
get my cards out some days, journal mm-hmm. with those. You know, it just gets that, get your mindset right. Like, get your mind right.
Yeah, I used to... And I ebb and flow in all my practices. That is just me.
Same here.
But I was pulling moon cards for my daily affirmations for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. Like, you are a goddess. Or they would be different empowering phrases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, embrace your sexuality, which is have different things. So I was pulling that with my meditation and... saging myself, you know, and then it would move into something else. Well, we're going to try this for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what it was, I still have this morning routine that I do.
Yeah.
And it just makes the day better.
It does. Well, I think anything that keeps us as close as possible to a state of balance and being in the present mm-hmm. as much as we can during the day. And, like, the way our lives are, like, modern life, there's a lot of future planning that goes into it, and you have to be capable of doing that. But if you can also make it a point to stay present, like, that in and of itself solves, like, 99% of your problems.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not dwelling in the past and worrying about the future yeah. all damn long day.
Right.
Then, you know.
So... back to Reiki. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, you may be thinking, and I thought this too, well, they sure did talk about a lot of other stuff besides Reiki. But what I've learned the last couple of years, you have to address all these things. You set the routine before you can Reiki. You have to have some foundation for keeping your energy
mm-hmm.
Portals open and receiving. You have to take care of yourself. You can't just decide to be a Reiki healer and eat at McDonald's every day.
No.
And honking your horn at people because you're agitated. I know that that's crazy examples, but even before your attunement, they'll say, you know, fast or eat clean, no alcohol. And it's a true guideline for you to try to follow for most of your practice, because you're a hollow bone, a conduit. You can clog your chakras too, and your bone's not so hollow.
Right.
For you to heal someone, you really have to be meditating and keeping yourself attuned. You've been attuned, but you have to keep it too. Saying that, we all have off months.
We do.
But I'm just saying to really do
your best.
Yeah.
To maintain that balance.
That meditating. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, whether you sage, keeping crystal grids by your bed,
activating your water.
You can activate your water, your food, plants around you, animals. Animals, though, I don't know, some love it, and most of them are already little energy portals running around on their own. They're very sentient beings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
I'm convinced that all three of my cats are like wizard familiars.
Something.
Well, they guard me while I sleep. And we have two that stay outside most of the night now. They like patrol the house.
Mm-hmm.
And August, the youngest one that's in the house with us, she's at the foot of the bed, like sentry, or she curls right up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I had a dream. I don't really have nightmares too much anymore, but I had a really intense dream and I was outside, kind of in my yard, I guess, and something came like running at me, and it wasn't like a monster. It was some kind of animal, but it wasn't like an earthly animal. It was some kind of wolf like cat, like some creature, and it was coming right at me. I mean, teeth, everything. And Beetlejuice and Zipper, my two boy black cats, they're both like 10 years old, tore out into, I mean, met right up with it, like ferocious, you know,
nice.
Defended me in the dream realm, and I thought that was pretty badass. So I just wanted to share that.
That is very cool. Yeah, they
go get you some black cats, ladies.
Like I said, they're very sentient. They are aware of all in and outer worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
Yep.
It's great stuff.
Right?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yep. I think that we've done a good job today. I think we've shared some good insights.
Yeah.
And information. And I want to have you on again to talk about some other stuff.
Cool.
Maybe shadow work. Let's do a shadow work
discussion. Yeah, because I did that for a couple of months.
Yeah. That's the nitty gritty. Because we've talked about our kind of starting healing and becoming Reiki healers.
Yes.
And like you just mentioned, you have to work on yourself to be an effective healer.
Constantly.
And so part of that, one of those facets is
shadow work.
And a lot of people have different ideas about it, but I think we could have a good discussion on that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think we definitely could. Shadow work would be a great one. It was definitely not something I was really prepared to get into, but once I did,
yeah,
it was worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
It was worth it.
Digging through the ugly parts. Like, healing is not all sunshine, rainbows, and...
No, and your dark side's not... you need it. It's you. It's still part of you.
Yep.
It's still a part of you.
And I think a lot of people probably coming out of church, being raised in church like we were,
mm-hmm.
like, shadow work can be a little scary because... You know, the way we were raised, dark is bad, light is good. But, you know, that's it.
You shouldn't acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. Just like pretend it's not there or stuff it down. But how many church leaders have we seen it time and time again? The one thing that they are so vocal about, it's being the worst sin there is, sexual sin.
Right.
That's what they're all struggling with. And they all end up falling from grace because of falling into sexual sin.
Right.
Because they're denying their shadow.
Yeah.
You know, they deny it 40 years later. Well, you're in the back room playing in glory holes and getting massages from
right. You know? Or even worse, or it has manifested into something not natural or organic.
Yes.
It has manifested in something where you have ruined lives.
Yep.
Because you said that it was bad, or were told it was bad, or you were abused and you didn't address your shadows. I mean, is it your fault? Not all the time. Sometimes things are just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once choices are made, they're just made. And it is what it is.
Yep.
So, yeah, shadow work would be a good one.
Yep.
Sure you don't want to do two bitches snacking one time?
Yep, we've got all the time in the world. I see you every 4 weeks.
That's right.
So, you know, we'll just record all kinds of good stuff.
It'll be a good time. Yep.
But thank you for being my guest tonight.
I was honored.
This was lovely.
It was lovely.
And so I'll have you back again. And we'll just talk about more. So we'll get deeper and weirder every time
that
we
good.
Meet up. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, awesome. I love you.
Love you too, lady.
Bye.
Bye.